To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of the sun setting over an unknown vessel on an unknown body of water comes to us from a currently unknown Facebook friend who shared this on social media back on or around April 10th of 2021. If this view is yours and you would like your photo credit, give me a heads up and I'll update the blog after the fact. Well, it's Tuesday, and because I am in uncharted waters with an ongoing crisis situation and don't know what will happen, I have decided to highlight my uncertainty by going back in my phone's photo archive to 2021, where I found a lot of borrowed Facebook photos that I never used and now I'm setting free. The crisis situation is my son Brennan's inactivity and what appears to be clinical depression. I've tried to motivate him with threats of eviction, and it may come to that someday, but yesterday I decided to sit down and talk to him about his situation. He quit his job in January and is penniless now, but has remained mired in inactivity. When given the ultimatum to get a job or to get some mental health and possible public assistance help, he remained silent for a time until he eventually chose the latter. So I contacted Columbia County's mobile crisis team to check in with Brennan to offer him encouragement and assistance to get him the help he needs. There is no shame in getting help for your depression, but sometimes you need some help getting help. So I forced the issue, and I'm hopeful that this will lead to a solution to Brennan's problems. I had prayed for the Lord to make a change in this situation, but as February turned to March, I was continually assailed with concern for my son. God didn't move him, and my threatening eviction had no effect. And while I could have waited the full 60 days of the notice I had given Brennan at the end of January, something in my spirit wouldn't give me any rest. My spirit was afflicted by the Holy Spirit to do something. Real subtle, thanks. And even though I didn't want to deal with it, truth, I sat Brennan down to talk to him to express my concern and compel him to decide on a course of action for his life. His depression is so deep, he has lost in irrationality, doing nothing but isolating himself and streaming video games, in total denial of the reality that he has living expenses that he can't pay. Even though he is aware that he has no money, the pain of being penniless wasn't enough to cause him to seek work. So he begrudgingly agreed to get help today by going to Columbia County Mental Health to start the process of getting services. While we will see what happens, I pray it leads to better days for my son. As Christians, we often lift people up in prayer and trust God to help them, but when we feel our intuition stir within us to the point we can't stop thinking about it and lose our peace, I believe that is the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, calling us into action. God's good works is a thing, and it can often be a thing we don't want to do, but it's what God made us for. And so we should pray to God for God to help others, but sometimes we will realize that God intends for us to be the answer to our own prayers. So if your spirit within you is putting something on your heart and mind, don't ignore it. Ask God for guidance and do something. We all need the Lord's wisdom and strength, and it's a good season to receive both, the season of Lent. And speaking of Lent, it's the 18th day of Lent, so we continue my personal walkthrough of Gracie of Grindal's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. In this walkthrough of Grindal's devotional is our hope that we will get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday, Easter. And so we continue, and journey day 18, and Martin Luther writes, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. This is the shortest possible way of describing and illustrating the nature, will, acts, and work of God the Father, because the Ten Commandments have explained that we are to have no more than one God, so it may now be asked, what kind of person is God? What does he do? How can we praise or portray or describe him in such a way so we may know him? This is taught here and in the following articles. Thus, the creed is nothing else than a response and confession of Christians based on the first commandment. If you were to ask a young child, "My dear, what kind of God do you have? What do you know about him?" He or she could say, "First, my God is the Father, who made heaven and earth. Aside from this one alone, I regard nothing as God, for there is no one else who would create heaven and earth." And that's Martin Luther. Now we move on to the biblical wisdom, from which is from Genesis 1:1-2, which says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless, a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters." And now our devotion asks for silence for meditation, so you can pause the podcast or stop reading and sit quietly for a few moments and sit in the stillness that is available everywhere in God's creation and always in God's creation. And we can also meditate on Martin Luther's word about God the Father as creator. But after we're done contemplating in silence, we can turn to our questions today, which the first one asks, "What does it mean to confess one's faith? Is confession only a matter of words?" The Greek word for confess in 1 John 1:9 is homologio, which means one and the same, or together with, indicating that we agree or in union, which indicates that confess doesn't mean just admitting something is wrong. It is saying I agree that it is wrong, and by implication means that I will change. So if you confess your sin, you say I'm going to change. In faith, to confess, it means we agree that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And by implication means that we will agree to follow and obey what God wants us to do. So faith is more than just a matter of words. If we really confess or agree with God, that will show in our actions of repentance and living according to God's word. The next question is, in a world troubled by increasingly serious environmental and ecological question, what does it mean to confess faith in a God who is the creator of heaven and earth? I think that to confess faith in God, who is creator of heaven and earth, would indicate that we know the world has been given to us, and that we should therefore be good stewards of how we treat it. The next question is, why is it important that children have a simple and yet profound way to answer the question, what kind of God do you have? Well, the biggest problem with our faith is when people have a distorted view of who God is. So children and adults should be taught about God's attributes to adequately express his grandeur as the one who created all things, but also to know that he deeply loves and cares for the least of us. And that moves us along to the Psalm fragment from today's study, which is Psalm 33, 6-9, which states, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." And that moves us on to our journal reflections for today. And the first one directs us to meditate on Luther's question, "What kind of God do you have? What do you know about him?" Answer the questions for yourself in your journal. Entire books have been written on this subject, so let me refer you to A.W. Tozer's The Attributes of God or R.C. Sproul's teaching on the names of God. But as for me, God is Father, Creator, Spirit, and Love. God as Father, God as Creator, Father, Spirit, and Love tell me what kind of God I have. He made everything, is immaterial and mysterious, but he cares for and loves us. That's the kind of God I have. Worried about how your understanding of God shapes your daily life. Well, I understand God to be sovereign, which means he directs everything and that nothing happens that is not determined or used by God for his ultimate purposes. That might be a high view of God by some. I might be considered a high view. But it is the view that keeps me grateful and full of joy, knowing that everything that happens in my life is brought to me by my Heavenly Father to shape me into the person he created me to be. The last journal reflection asks, is your prayer life impacted by the wonder of God's creation which surrounds you on all sides? If yes, how? If not, meditate on creation and see where it takes you. Yes, my whole life is impacted by the wonder of God's creation as I find peace in his handiwork, recognizing the creation's beauty and the provision for our needs that God has provided through it. But I never get so enamored with his creation to forget the one who gave us this gift of existence. And finally, the prayer for the life of faith says, pray that you may come to know God better through this 40-day journey, and that you will be able to share with someone your great wonder at the God who created all things. Lord, we pray that this 40-day journey causes us to know you more, and that we can share our great wonder of you as creator with others. Finally, the prayer for today is, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you have done to create, sustain, and preserve all that is so that I might have a full life here on earth or creation as obediently as I am able. Amen. That moves us along to our today's Bible verse. Comes from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verse comes from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And today's verse is Proverbs 17:1, which says, Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Today's verse falls under the fifth point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And that fifth point is simply, contentment promotes peace. Today's verse equates meager rations and quiet as better than abundance and strife, showing us that contentment and the peace that comes from it is God's wisdom for us. It's not what we have, it's how we view it, and whether or not we appreciate it that matters. Happiness comes from wanting what we already have. That's contentment and peace. As always, we invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And today's prompting for Scripture is to read Luke 7. And from Luke 7, Alford shares from verse 22, which says, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And Stephen Alford writes, John had just sent two disciples to Jesus to inquire whether he was the Christ, the sent one, or not. In reply to the inquiry, the Lord Jesus gave evidence of his messiahship. Go, said he, and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see, to open their eyes, Christ brought revelation. The lame walk, emancipation. The lepers are cleansed, spiritual cleansing and forgiveness. The deaf hear, the hearing of faith. The dead are raised, life. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, says Luke 20:38. I have come, said the Savior, that they may have life, John 10:10. The gospel is preached, and the gospel is comprehended all. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. And then finally, Alford prays, Thank you, Father, for not just asking us to believe, but showing us why we can believe. Amen. And Alford brings up a great point. Is he the Messiah? Well, yeah, there's great evidence for that. He did mighty works. He had good teaching. But the kicker is the resurrection. No other teacher or healer ever rose from the dead. And That's what sets God apart. It's the evidence that shows us that Jesus was who he said he was. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God and God the Son. He's fully God and fully man. That's why Jesus is different and special, and he's the only one who could save us, as his paying for our sin is infinite through his God nature, passed on to everyone who puts their faith in him. And so he changes your life, and that's the gift that we receive from the Lord. First his creation, and then the revelation of who he is, knowing him and coming to him and getting peace with him through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And confessing our faith to the point where we not just say we believe, but we show we believe. We show the evidence, like Jesus showed the evidence that he was the Messiah with the things he did. We show the evidence that we are Christians by the way we live and the things we say, the things we do. And we should never put our faith on the shelf as something to take out, dust off, or for on the weekends or for special occasions, but should walk in our confession of faith. It's when we do that that we can overcome things like depression. Because when we know we're loved by God, and that he directs all the things of the world, and we do what's right as Genesis told us to do what's right, our countenance will be changed. We won't be depressed, and we won't be inundated by sin, then we can have good mental health. But unfortunately, it's something we must choose for ourselves. I do encourage my son to, follow the Lord and do what's right. And it's his decision to do else, do something else. And so now we're going to send him to mental health professionals to try to stabilize him and get him to a point where he can see the problems clearly and, get the help he needs. And we're going to trust the Lord with that, too. Yikes. It's sort of scary to trust men. But I trust the Lord, and, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to pray and encourage my son, and we'll see what happens. And, regardless of the outcomes, I know God is with us, or he's with me. I can't say he's with people who don't walk with him. I know he's with me, and I know that my God is able to help people when they decide to repent and follow him. So that's our encouragement today. If you're feeling down, it's the Lenten season, so draw close to your faith. Forget about the world. The world doesn't have happiness in it that lasts. The only peace you really have is peace with God, and that's only available through Jesus Christ. So pick up your cross and follow him. Anyway, let's finish up by praying for today, because we all need his help. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. We thank you for the gifts you've given us in your creation and the gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to know the hope that doesn't end. We come to know the joy and the peace that is found through you. And we pray for you to increase it as we seek to follow you, Lord. We pray for anyone who's listening to be encouraged to do the same. Lord, we pray for you to come alongside them in their prayer request and to encourage them in their spirit to do something, to draw closer to you and to do what's right, to find your will for all our lives. And as we go out into the world today, Lord, we ask for your help. Help us to do the things we need to do and to do it, to the best of our abilities and to represent you the best we can. Because we all need your help, Lord. We all need your guidance. We all need your strength. And we're praying for it today. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.